Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
We have Senator Eric Schmidt coming on with us at the bottom of the hour. He hasn't done a whole lot of media since Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I know he did at least one or two national shows, but I'm looking forward to catching up with him. Fred, I'm guessing he will be there Sunday for the memorial service, right?
I don't
know.
We'll ask.
Yeah, we'll find out. He was close with Charlie Kirk, and we're going to air that, by the way, so that will be something that you'll hear here on Sunday on 97.1 FM Talk. Sue's going to do Sue's News in just a couple of minutes. We have Alex Richin here in the studio to hang with us, as he often does on a Wednesday. Now, Sue, I learned something from Alex here that I was unaware of. You know, we've been talking about my dog and how my dog Duke passed away in May, and we kind of went pretty quickly into the puppy land. And Max is now almost 6 months old. He's 42 Jeez. Pounds. I had to take him to the vet today. He's 42 pounds, so he's a beast. But Alex, you lost a dog right after you got back from your honeymoon.
We
did. It was just awful, right?
Yep. And that was about 2 months ago.
And what did you just tell me when you walked into the room?
We got a puppy.
I did not know that.
He's so cute. Yeah. His
name is Otter. And actually, I'm glad we're talking about this because you're talking about good stories and whatnot. So I've just heard that you kind of know when it's time to get a new dog, right?
Yeah.
Did you tell me this?
Well, no, what?
Did you tell me you have the feeling when you're ready to get
when
the new puppy?
I might have said that before,
okay,
sure.
So,
but I don't think it was me that said it recently.
Well, so Annie was just kind of doing her research and it's a Bernese Golden. So it's a Bernese Mountain Dog mixed with a Golden Retriever. And she texted a phone number. There was no pictures. It was just like, this is the type of dog it was. And when she typed in the phone number to text about the dog, a picture from 10 years ago popped up, and it was the same person that she got our dog that just passed away from.
No way!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
That is
she didn't
crazy.
Know at all. But in there, it had Miko's like breeder, and the number popped up, and the last text between them was an exchange of how the dog, that our dog that just passed away, was doing as a puppy. And that's, you know.
That's pretty.
And so that was kind of like, that was how we knew, like, okay, it was we're ready to get the new puppy.
Okay,
so.
Alex, I have a question. Why did you go for the mix? Was the first dog straight Bernese?
He was a Bernese, mostly Bernese, just a little bit of Australian Shepherd. But, Sue, let's be honest, this wasn't my pick. You know, this wasn't my decision. I still got my little Frenchie.
Yeah,
so the little
true.
French Bulldog, you know, that's my guy. Ralph's my guy. And but I think he's a cool. It's like a kind of a.
I'm looking at pictures right now.
It's a hip thing.
It's a hip thing.
It is. A friend of mine is thinking of that, and she's like, I don't know whether I should go straight or mix him with the golden.
Well, because they're very. Well, the Goldens live longer than the Bernese, but they're both very like easy temperament.
Friendly.
Like they are, he is like the best puppy ever, honestly. Aww. Yeah, I mean, you
How
can
old?
Imagine you had the bulldog puppies. They're not good puppies.
How old is Otter?
Otter is about, he's real young. He's like 9 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got plenty of weeks to go.
That's
when
what
that
I'm
puppy's
saying.
Not going to be,
That's
a, oh,
I'm
I think
saying.
There's going to be some things chewed.
Yeah.
You know, Max was like that for a while, too. And then mm-hmm. I was telling Alex the story that I shared the other day. Honest to God, I'm in my living room. I was watching football, but I decided to listen to a little music and just kind of watch. And I checked on Max. He was upstairs. We're letting him have more of the run of the house. And he was on the bed. I'm like, all right, it's cool. So I come downstairs. At one point, I get up and I look behind the couch, and he's literally peeled back about 10 feet of the carpet that was torn up a little bit from where the bunny damaged it. And I'm like, how did you do that, too? First of all, how did you do that? Second, how did you do that without me knowing about it? You're right behind me. And he's getting into, you know, now he's feeling like he can get into things that he wasn't able to because now he's got more of the run of the house. Mm. So,
but he's also getting slapped down by one of your cats.
Oh, my God, Sue, you, I got to get this on video.
Funny.
So, you know, we have three cats, and two of them are normal. One is psychotic, and that's Shadow. Now, I say that lovingly, but she's different, and she will not, like, for example, she won't let me go and pick her up or pet her. She'll decide, and I know a lot of cats are like this, but, I mean, she's really, I don't know if she was feral to begin with when we got her. She's always been this way. She was the one that hid, like, in the rafters of my house when I first got her 5 years ago. But she does not, you know, do a lot. She'll come up to me when she really feels like it, rubs herself up against my leg, and then lets me pet her. Sometimes she'll jump on the couch. It's very rare, though. And if I even walk toward her where I'm not even going to do anything with her, I'm going to, like, let the dog in or something like that, she freaks out and she gets scared. So the standoff between Max, who is part Siberian Husky, we found out, right, and part Lab, is they talk, they howl. So he likes to get in standoffs with the cats, right? And the cats kind of, the other two cats sort of just say, you're not going to do anything to me. I'm just going to sit here. They kind of taunt him. Well, Shadow has decided that she's had enough. And this morning, I'm in the kitchen. I'm on the iPad, and I hear hissing and then this cat is literally chasing my dog around my living room. She is aggressively chasing him down.
She's had enough.
And at one point, he whimpers because her claw got the back of his ass or something like that. I mean, I want to be careful with the eyes because I don't have eye surgery here with the puppy. But, I mean, I've never seen her do this before. And she's, you know, hissing and her tail's all up. And she's just going after him saying, I think the message is, I've had enough, dude. Just leave me alone.
Here
right?
is the line.
And I think he gets it. I think he's going to get it. I really do. Yeah. You know, when I told Fred this story because when I had a bulldog, this goes back 30 years, all right, mid-Missouri. My first wife, I had a little, she had a dog and Cagney was the name of that dog. And then I had one cat. My cat was Max, actually. It was the one that I got when I was in college. And then I got this bulldog puppy who was Newt. He was named after Newt Gingrich. Okay. I told the former speaker that. He didn't seem to appreciate that a named...
Well, it's a shame. That's his fault.
Well, it is. He kind of looked like Newt. All right. So I'm in my... It was a tiny ranch house in Columbia, Missouri. I'm in the family room area where I had the TV. And then around the corner where the kitchen was, that's where the crate was. And, you know, Newt was very young at the time. I don't know, 15, 16 weeks. So I hear, like, all this noise from the other room and, you know, hissing and stuff like that. The bulldog comes around the corner, plants himself underneath the coffee table. It was a coffee table that had, you know, space underneath. He's facing toward where the, you know, the hallway is to come around the corner. He puts his head all the way down with his paws in front of him. So his, you know, his chin is on the ground and he looks like, you know, he's afraid. And the cat comes around the corner. Max does. His tail is thick as you can imagine it. He comes right up. Now, he was declawed, okay? Shadow is not. But he comes right up to the bulldog right in front of me and he slaps him, goes, like with his paw, five times
really?
Across the face. Yeah, I swear to God. And I don't think that they ever had an issue the rest of their lives. He set he let Newt know where the goalposts were, and that was that. So I think that's kind of what happened today in my house. But if it happens again, I have to get it on video because, man, it's entertaining. And he now knows not to mess with Shadow. I think it's pretty clear.
You got to lay the ground rules early.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So yesterday we talked about, and we had a great conversation with Ian Scheer. We love Ian from CBS. Used to be with CNET, but he's with CBS News. He's one of the tech reporters. And we were talking about the Apple event from last week and the iPhone, and there's new software. So inspired by that discussion yesterday with Ian, I did, as soon as I got home last night, I installed the new software.
Yeah.
And then I instantly regretted it because it gave me all these different looks on the phone and stuff. Oh. It's just different.
You don't like it? Do you think
I'm
you're going
to
like it?
Yes, because it happens every time. There's different things, like when you go to take pictures, it gives you different options, and I have to get used to it. What I did, though, Fred, you'd be proud of me, because Fred prints out different stories, and there was a story about the software, I think it was from the Washington Post, and it was giving you, you know, tips. Because I always liked it when they do this, why not use the new software? You have ability to use different tools. So I tend to do a little bit of a tutorial and go online and I find out what's going on. And I haven't had time to sit with it, but there's different features and I want to start to use them. But yeah, as soon as I looked at my phone this morning, I'm like, oh no, maybe I should have waited. Maybe I should have waited just
sometimes
a little
while. Sometimes there's too much with it.
I know.
Just keep it simple.
And then sometimes, I think we talked about this with Ian, sometimes the first version of the new software has all kinds of problems and people are wise to say, okay, maybe we should wait just a little while. But I did download the new software. So, hey, we got Sue's News coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, got Sue's News coming up here in just a moment. First, though, Alex Rich has joined us, as he often does, on a Wednesday. And, you know, we've highlighted the fact that you play guitar, you do some singer-songwriter stuff around town, including at Busch Stadium. Now, you just told me that you've added a saxophone
to
the mix.
Man, let me tell you something. The saxophone,
I
when
love
you
it.
Add that to the mix. So we're not the trio, I guess, you know, obviously, when the saxophone joins.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I feel about being just the full Alex Rich band. The Alex Rich trio has become a thing. But do you at what point have to come up with a name?
Well, when you have four members, then you're not a trio.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I'm just going
the quartet.
But
the quick math. Sue, what would you say? How do you differentiate? Sounds like if you add a fourth member, you're
maybe
not a trio.
Do we call us the trio plus one?
The trio plus one.
A quadro.
Well, the bottom line, though, because I want to get to Sue, is you are going to be performing on the last home game of the Cardinals.
The last home
game
of the Cardinals. This year at Busch Stadium. I'll be at the Budweiser Terrace this Sunday.
I start playing at 11:15.
The saxophone player is joining us.
Awesome.
And we're going to have a blast. We're going to have a great time.
We'll see you then.
Yep.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, happy National Monte Cristo Day. Now, we have learned many food things on this show. Do you, Mark Reardon, know what a Monte Cristo sandwich
is? Yeah, Katie Station. It was either Katie Station or Boone. What the hell was Boone? Boone's. There was another restaurant in Columbia, and they used to feature the Monte Cristo, and it was delicious. I think it was Katie Station. Oh, it looks
good.
It's like, there's ham and cheese involved, I believe, right?
Yeah, Fred. Who said they didn't know?
Fred.
It's a fried ham and cheese sandwich, similar to French toast. They dip it in an egg batter and pan fry it until golden brown. It's usually ham, turkey, Swiss.
Wow.
It's often served, and this is where it just goes south for me, with powdered sugar and a sweet jam. Nope.
Oh, I remember that.
I think I could do it.
I'm sure you could. Here's what I remember, by the way, is Boone Tavern. That's the other restaurant I was trying to think of. But back in the day, that was like I remember loving the Monte Cristo.
That sounds
delicious. But I haven't seen it on a menu for decades, so you bringing it up is very unusual.
Yeah, who has them?
Well, that's a good question. It's just the celebration of their day. Somebody Google it for me. I've got too many things running here.
It's all right. I feel like I know what I'm making for dinner, right?
I just don't like ham.
The Crow's Nest in Maplewood.
Thank you, Ethan.
Press waffle at the City Foundry. Duck. A couple of options.
So I'm not a big ham person. I've taken a stand against ham in the past as well, but for whatever reason.
Right there with you.
Yeah, back in the day, though, I liked those a lot, those sandwiches.
Fair enough. Make it with turkey. Maybe it's not so bad.
Right.
Don't put jam on it at the end.
I don't remember that part. Yeah, that's the part I don't think I would do.
No. It's also National Apple Dumpling Day. Now, I don't know that I've ever actually had one. Well, maybe I have, but it sounds good to me. Alexa Reardon would hate it. Also, National Constitution Day and National Professional House Cleaners Day.
How about that?
So that's nice. I just like that they cover all bases. Okay, here is
Constitution Day is a pretty important one.
Shouldn't have glossed
over
that.
I mean,
disrespect.
She was more concerned about the House Cleaner Day.
I was because, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. On this day in history, 90 years ago, I had not heard this story, and maybe I had and I forgot. Fred, maybe you know it. In 1935, Brooklyn Dodgers outfielder Len Konecki was killed while attempting a skyjacking.
What does that mean?
He was furious that he'd just been cut by the Dodgers, right?
Okay.
So he took his frustrations out on a flight over Canada, was trying to take over the plane, but while he was trying to take control of the plane, somebody swapped him in the head with a fire extinguisher, and it killed him.
What?
And never knew anything about this story.
That's insane.
It is insane. From 1935, and I don't know if that's how you pronounce Konecki. It's K-O-E-N-E-C-K-E. So Len Konecki.
Konecki sounds right.
Wow.
Thank you. 90 years ago today.
Fred, I can't believe you didn't know that.
I didn't know that, no.
That's very interesting.
I'm going to look it up.
Give it a week and Fred will be the most researched person in the world on it.
How is there not a documentary about this
or something?
I don't think they have the video.
Give it a week.
That's true. That's true, they probably don't.
I'm going to have to go into my archives and see if I can find it.
Okay, thank you, Fred. And then, this phrase, I still find myself saying, on this day in history, 18 years ago, it was in 2007 with the Don't Tase Me Bro guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it happened.
Oh, my God. I used to have that. I could have usually, when we had the old system at CamoX, I could have played that to you in a heartbeat. And also, the only thing better is, remember when Larry Connor did it?
Yes, that's what I was going to. Okay, Larry Connors did one to talk about Don't Tase Me Bro. Well, here's what happened. A University of Florida student named Andrew Meyer was tased by campus police and forcibly removed from a town hall. Apparently, he was pressing John Kerry about Bush's foreign policy. And he's the one who said, "Don't tase me, bro." So Larry Connors gets a hold of it, and he goes out and has the police force tase him just to see what the experience was like.
Was
and
awesome.
He went down. It was incredible.
The audio is fantastic. Fred, do I have any of that stuff? Did it all go, all that stuff that was in my folder?
Fun.
Is it really?
Is it? Oh, that's a shame.
Is there any chance that someone would have dumped it somewhere?
I feel like you should volunteer to maybe try it out sometime on the show.
No, because I saw what happened to Larry Connors. But that was
my God. Lives on the internet somewhere.
Get the dump button ready.
No. I know I can get that, but I'm saying because I had a lot of good audio in there. I probably should have stepped up and said we need to put that in a folder somewhere, right?
Not that this is any better, but it's totally off topic. Have you ever done the pregnancy simulator, Mark?
No, I have not, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm going to bring it in. We're going to do it on this show, I think, one of these Wednesday afternoons and see if Mark can
go through
the pain.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
I did it one morning over on the other show.
Did you?
Yeah,
the,
I did.
The answer is
tough.
Clearly no.
It was tough.
I have no pain tolerance whatsoever.
Wow. I say we do it.
All right. Well, I'll go for it. Fred, you going to do it?
I don't even like thinking about it.
You probably shouldn't. Ethan looks game.
I am trying to find your "Don't Tase Me, Bro" sounder.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. You find he's trying to avoid the topic here.
Yeah, not in every country, but people are living longer than they used to in Japan, and they just set a new record there. Nearly 100,000 people in Japan are now 100 or older.
Sheesh.
That's amazing. Now, the official tally is 99,763 people in Japan are over 100. It's the 55th year in a row that that number has gone up.
Wow.
So Japan has really figured out what to eat, how to live, to how to think, probably, to get to over 100.
You know, I have two grandparents that lived to over 100.
Oh, that's impressive.
Oh, that's good for you.
See, well, I guess they were great grandparents. Okay, but still, that counts, right?
No, not the same. But
I would say it's my mom's grandma lived to 100, and her mom lived to 103.
No, that
that's
is amazing.
Probably more impressive long ago.
Yeah,
when we didn't have as many medical interventions.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? We're an impressive bunch.
They were not eating processed food. I'm going to point that out.
Yeah, no Monte Cristos. By the way, Ken, who is a listener, tells me that Denny's used to have that. I don't know if they still do. Mm. Haven't been to Denny's in a while, but about been as long as Cracker Barrel for me, 30 years since I've been to Denny's.
I think I'd go to that one that Ethan mentioned before that. Okay, a writer for the travel site, since we've got Alex with us today, the traveler.
Yep.
Now, the travel site is called 1 Mile at a Time, and what he did was a big feature on the best types of food to order on airplanes. Now, that's assuming they serve an actual meal, not just snacks. So, of course, this would probably be most helpful if you're flying internationally or first class. But what he did was he put up pictures, and some of those meals almost look really outstanding. But here's one tip that I thought is good for the rest of us. He says his general rule when looking at a meal option in coach is this. Think of them like they're leftovers. Which one would reheat better in the microwave? Because that's all they do.
Makes sense.
Nothing is cooked on planes. It's all prepped to the caterer hours before you even get there. So you're just bringing an option home from a restaurant.
Mm.
Which one would be better heated in the microwave?
I'm going to be honest. I just ate a couple pretty delicious meals for what I thought they would be on an airplane on the way to the honeymoon,
because
we flew over to Italy.
Right.
And the pasta. I feel like pasta usually is a pretty good, like a chicken pasta.
Okay.
All right.
It was pretty solid.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
They say, listen, if none of it appeals to you when you think about it as put in the microwave, just go cold. So whatever, like if it's a sandwich or something else, you could just try that. But I thought, wow, I hadn't really ever thought of that, and that's actually
a good piece
of advice. All right, and there's a little bit of a story out today. Wendy's, if you're a Wendy's person, they're switching from whole-leafed romaine to shredded iceberg.
Ugh.
For burgers and chicken
sandwiches.
That's
actually a horrible move. I thought when you talked about the topic, I was not going to be as invested as now I am. That is a horrible, horrible move.
It is, but it's probably going to save them, millions and millions of dollars.
It's going to save them, and they say it's an effort to make lettuce consistency.
What do you think, Fred?
No, I don't like iceberg at all.
Hall of Famer has spoken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I reject it, too. But I still like their Frosties.
That's fair.
Random fact time.
Random fact, people are more likely to donate to a hurricane relief effort if their name starts with the same letter as the name of the hurricane.
That's fascinating. That is unbelievable.
Yep, and there you go.
And kind of sad if that's true.
It is.
That's weird human psychology. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it. Alex, good to see you.
We'll see you guys.
We usually spend a little bit more time with Alex, but we got Senator Schmidt coming up after the break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Senator Eric Schmidt did a great job with Cash Patel in that hearing yesterday. I played some of this for audio cut of the day yesterday, talking about, you know, really, where is this political violence coming from?
The Lee Zeldin stabbing attempt, left wing or right wing? Left wing. The Covenant School shooting in Nashville, left wing or right wing? Left wing. The Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on President Trump, left wing or right wing? Left wing. The Trump International West Palm Beach assassination attempt, left wing. The Abundant Life Christian School shooting, left wing.
Yeah, it goes on and on. Senator Schmidt is with us this afternoon. Hello, Eric. How are you? I know you took this whole thing very, very hard, so I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon. How are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. It's been, a tragic week, since Charlie Kirk, who was a friend of mine, was assassinated in front of the world and his family. I mean, it's just really, really brutal. And I think you and I have talked about free speech a lot over the years and how important it is for our country. And this was a guy that was willing to have, you know, debates and tough conversations in public and in the open. And he was literally assassinated because of his political views. And it's just, there's just no place for it in our country. So I'm yes on free speech, no on political violence. But I do think, and what I took the opportunity in the Judiciary Committee yesterday to talk about, I do think we've got to be honest about what is happening and where this is coming from. This is not a both sides thing.
It is not.
It really isn't. It's not. And I think, you know, for the media that has just parroted these talking points, I can imagine they're defensive about that point of view, but that's the truth. And that's what we need now more than anything. If we're going to get on the other side of this thing as a country, we just have to be truthful. When you have, you know, most recent YouGov poll showing 25% of those who self-describe as very liberal are willing to tell a pollster that political violence is justified. That's crazy. Now, on the very conservative side, you got 3%. That's 3% too many. I would never argue that. But it's not the same thing. And when you have, 85% of Democrats think Trump is a fascist. You've got words like Nazi and fascist thrown around all the time, existential threat to democracy. And when people on the left, okay, on the poll, that over 55% believe it's somewhat justified for President Trump to be murdered, we got a problem. We've got a problem. And I'm just not going to back away from saying that, because that is the truth. The left has a real problem here. And I condemn all political violence, but let's not lie about it, about where it's really coming from, the vast majority of it.
But this is going into a different area right now. And you still have people out there, whether it's Caitlin Collins on CNN or Jimmy Kimmel or, you know, some of these other publications that are trying, even after yesterday, even after the prosecutor in Utah reads this entire text message exchange that makes it pretty clear what the motivation was, they're saying, we don't know what the motive here was. That's the narrative that they're going with. And they get away with it because the audience, that's what they want to hear, right? And they don't want to hear anything beyond Trump's to blame. And that's who gets the blame in every instance, even here. Which is, maybe I shouldn't be shocked, Eric.
It's become the entire political identity of one political party in the news media, which is you know, Trump derangement syndrome, Trump is Hitler, all his followers are fascists, and if you say something they don't like, it's, you know, it's an existential threat to the, I mean, they've repeated that stuff for 10 years, like a decade. It's on a loop. And this radical left-wing ideology clearly infected the shooter here in the messages. I mean, he wrote on one of the bullets, catch this, fascist. He's in the text messages with his trans lover saying that, saying specifically that there's some hate, he's talking about Charlie Kirk, you can't negotiate with, right? He was killed for his point of view. And that can't be where we're headed. Like, that can't be the reality in this country. It certainly was last Wednesday. And Charlie Kirk was a high-profile spokesman who was convincing people. You look at the numbers of young voters now in college campuses. You know, you and I are you know, similar ages. I won't say that I'm 10 years younger than you, but I think I'm 10 years younger
than you.
You're
10 years younger. You're 10 years younger.
But in college, when I was in college, like, you know, you knew it was liberal. I would take these classes. Now this indoctrination, okay, has happened for a full generation. What Charlie Kirk said was, I'm going to go on those campuses and ask me anything, prove me wrong. And that was moving people, and he was a real threat. And like I said, it's tragic. This guy was a really kind of a generational talent, had built a movement that you could directly relate to the election of 2024 with President Trump winning. But you know, just as a country, the left just, I think, has to come to grips with they have a real political violence problem here. And it's not the same thing. It is just not the same thing. And it's not a both sides thing. And we need to reject that and say, what is really going on here? When you dehumanize half the country all the time. I listen to Chuck Schumer say on the floor, these extremist MAGA Republicans.
Right.
And it's just like all they have. And it's crazy.
Well, that's where I would draw the distinction and have this week. So it's one thing if you have a bunch of people that are, you know, political pundits that are screaming these things and we go back and forth all the time. But it's literally the people who lead the Democrat Party, whether it's fat J.B. Pritzker across the river, whether it's Sleepy Joe, whether it's Kamala or Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin. These are the people who are in leadership positions. It's one thing, you know, if some, you know, Jamoke on the radio like me says one thing, but these are the people supposedly leading the country. And then the reaction from some of them, you know, obviously some did react appropriately, but it didn't take very long to spin this on Trump. And then again, this narrative that, no, this guy is more extreme than MAGA. That's why he did, which doesn't even make any logical sense, but it doesn't stop him from trying to spread the nonsense.
Well, 2 points there. One is, and I mentioned it in the hearing yesterday, Blue Sky, which is sort of this like liberal alternative to X, the inundation of that platform of people celebrating the murder of a fellow citizen, they had to issue a warning that you can't do this. It was, and these weren't some radical like trolls that were anonymous. These were teachers. These were professors. These were journalists. And so
yeah.
I have to start asking the question, like, get pulled back from the brink here. Good God. Like, there's just way more to life than politics. And if you're at a place where you're celebrating the assassination of another human being, like, it's time to check yourself. The second point is, to your point about not just, you know, who's talking about it. Like, one of the other things that came out of the hearing yesterday was this Operation Arctic Frost that was exposed, which was the FBI basically surveilling, seeking documents of Republican, like when I was in the Republican AG Association, evidently they were doing that, you know, when Biden was in office. Turning Point was, Charlie Kirk's organization was part of this. They had worked themselves ever since the Russiagate, Mark, into a frenzy that lasted almost a decade because they couldn't believe Trump won. Obama thought he was handing the baton to Hillary Clinton. They made up all this stuff. They demonized half the country. They called them deplorables. You know, they call them trash. They tried to throw President Trump in jail. It's all a manifestation of something deeper and darker that has happened on the left. And they have a whole network of NGOs that fund this violence, like dropping off bricks at riots that we saw across the country in the summer of love of 2020. So I think there's a lot of self-reflection that needs to happen here. Unfortunately, you just don't hear many Democrats doing that. They're just so used to just blaming everything on Trump. That's kind of where they're still at.
will you be, there's going to be a memorial event at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, which is the home of the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to air that on Sunday. Will you be there?
I might be there. The schedule's kind of in flux right now. I might be there. So I can't say definitively. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty powerful day. I know President Trump's going to be there. J.D. Vance is going to be there. Many others are going to be there and pay tribute to Charlie Kirk. And I think the legacy that he left behind, too. I mean, you see the outpouring of the number of people that want to start, you know, these chapters on their campuses or even in their high schools. I will tell you, Mark, like, I grew up watching – Crossfire,
right?
You know, like,
right.
I you saw Pat Buchanan and Jack Kemp, and that made an impression on me. Charlie Kirk was on people's phones. The young people that reached out that I talked to, who've been really moved by this because he was somebody that was organizing and persuasive. I just think that his memory, I hope, will live on in kind of the ongoing youth movement for conservatism. I just think he was really impactful in that way. So I'm sure Sunday will be a lot about that.
I don't know if you, for me, you know, I came of age politically in the early 80s and just kind of formed my political ideology. I don't want to say on my own, maybe some friends influenced me. My parents, you know, never really said who they were voting for. But then, you know, late 80s is when I started listening to Rush Limbaugh. And a lot of us at that time were like, whoa, here's somebody saying something. It certainly inspired me to get out of music radio and into talk, but saying something that we believed in that no one was really expressing. And, you know, Rush dies, hasn't been quite, I think, about 8 years ago, and no one really is even able to pick up that mantle. But with Charlie, this is where I underestimated, I've admitted this several times, I underestimated the influence that he's had on these younger people across this country, Eric. I really had.
Yeah. No, I think I knew it. I've been on his show several times. I was probably on his show a couple of weeks before all this happened, and you kind of understand the reach. I mean, I'll just a quick story. I was going to meet with the president in the last weekend of the campaign. As you remember, I was on Trump Force One a bunch during the campaign, including the last weekend. So I flew down to Arizona to meet up with where they were at. And Charlie Kirk, who's from Arizona, was doing something with Tucker Carlson, and President Trump was there. We're all sort of backstage talking about, I mean, the election's a few days away. It all seems like a foregone conclusion now, but back then you didn't really know how it was going to play
out.
That's right. And he's like, look, we got Arizona taken care of, and kind of went through all the work that they had done. I mean, it wasn't just a guy who was persuasive. He actually, you know, had boots on the ground and doing the work. And then we flew to, he's just like, you know, get to Michigan, get to Wisconsin, which is where we were headed the next couple of days. And he was just, he was a very talented guy, and he was very committed to the cause. And I think that authenticity really came through, and he was just really smart too. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, I've been in debates and I've all that, but I mean, to see him in action and also one last thing, it's rare to hear someone that age talk about how important his faith is to him and family, you know, get married, have kids. That's the really important stuff in life. And as you and I both know, who've had challenges in our lives, that is sort of the core, right? That is what's really important. He talked about that, I think, in a way that is just kind of unique.
Absolutely. And, you know, we continue to learn more about that. And then, you know, some of the disgusting things, I don't know how much you've been exposed to some of the stuff that keeps getting said on the internet. Now, some people are losing their jobs over it. And I'm not, you know, fond of any, you know, regular person losing their job over political speech. But there are people that are in, you know, pretty high positions at universities or fire departments or even members of the Secret Service and military that have said some vile things and they've met some consequences.
Yeah, I don't understand the mentality. You know, I guess I come from the school of, you know, playing sports, like you fight like hell and you want to win. And I'm a very competitive guy. But when that's over, I mean, I don't want anyone to be like injured in the game and not be able to live their dream. I would certainly want anybody, a political opponent of mine or anybody, to actually die or be murdered. I don't understand the glee that so many people who like live down the street from you might have. You know, like I don't get that, and we gotta reject that, and we gotta pull however we can back from the brink on there. But it's sort of exposed. I think, again, going back to those numbers, a quarter, a full 25%, one out of four people who describe themselves as very liberal believe that political violence is appropriate, and over half of those on the left think it's okay and at least somewhat justified for President Trump to be murdered. Like, that's pretty stark. And
yeah.
I think, again, it gets back to some of the dehumanization that's happened in our politics and specifically related to the right and President Trump specifically.
Yeah, you have a colleague in Chris Murphy that essentially was calling for violence just a couple of days before all this happened. Now, he may want to try to run from that.
Yeah,
but
the day before. Yeah,
yeah,
the day
exactly.
before he said, you know, we're at war and by any means necessary.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Eric,
anyway.
Great to catch up. It's been a hell of a week. I hope you do make it to the memorial. I know you have family obligations as well, but we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
All right, Mark.
All right,
take care.
Yeah, take care. Steve Koonin, after the top of the hour, he is a senior fellow at Sanford's Hoover Institute. He's always a great guest on some of the climate nonsense. I talked about this a little bit last week, but, and this is an, I would say it's an undercovered media story just because of everything happening, not only with Charlie Kirk, but everything that is associated with President Trump. But there was an Energy Department report that really was something that would never have happened under a previous administration that was Democrat, that challenged the belief that greenhouse gas emissions pose a serious threat to the globe. And, you know, Steve has written about this extensively. He wrote a book on this topic. He's been with us many times before. And he is a common, you know, sense call it like he sees it kind of guy. The book is called Unsettled, What Climate Science Tells Us, What It Doesn't, and Why It Matters. So he's going to join us at 5:04. Josh Krasauer, 97.1 FM Talk political insider. He is the elder statesman of my political insiders, because Josh has been with me many, many years through several publications. He's the editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider. He's a Fox radio and Fox television analyst, and he'll join us at 5:30 on 97.1 FM Talk. Man, I have some good audio here this evening. I have good audio from Ted Cruz going at it with Caitlin Collins on CNN.
You said that you believe that left-wing groups should be investigated. You want to know where the financing is coming from for protests. Do you believe that they should also
yes.
be looking into right-wing groups as well, or do you believe it should only be limited to that?
Look, I believe anyone engaged in acts of violence should be prosecuted and go to jail. But I will say there has been an enormous amount, and CNN has been guilty of this, of both sides-ism, of saying, gosh, both sides are violent. And understand, yes, there is some violence on both sides, but it is the left that overwhelmingly celebrates this. It is leftists that have been celebrating. You look at Blue Sky, and it is a cesspool of leftists celebrating the murder of Charlie Kirk. You look at recent polling that shows over 50% of Democrats saying violence against Elon Musk is justified.
Yeah, that's again, I apologize. The audio is a little wonky there, and I apologize. But it was a good exchange last night, because Caitlin Collins, even after all the text messages got revealed yesterday in the CNN crew, they still want to go on and act like, oh, we don't really know why this happened. What was the motive here? We can't really tell. We can't really read through the tea leaves that are pretty obvious.
I think the argument that people have been talking about recently is what's going on with the Charlie Kirk case. I think people have raised that because there have been other acts of political violence as well when it comes to targeting Democrats. I mean, we've seen that with a lawmaker who was killed in Minnesota this summer alongside her husband. We've seen it with the break-in at Nancy Pelosi's
house. But the assassin
we've also
there
seen
was
it with
a deranged,
Justice Brett Kavanaugh
the assassin
and others.
Hold on a second. If you're going to say facts, you need to get your facts right.
Yeah, here we go.
The assassin there was not a right-wing assassin acting on a political motive. The assassin there was someone who had been an appointee of Tim Walz, and he was a deranged lunatic. And yes, there are deranged lunatics who attack people both right and left, but if you look at murders carried out for political agendas, they are overwhelmingly on the left, whether it is the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the two assassination attempts of Donald Trump, the assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh, over and over and over again, whether it was the congressional shooter who came to Washington to the baseball game and said, I want to find
Yeah, the list goes on. And by the way, we'll get into this a little bit in the next hour, too. Even Josh Shapiro, and he kind of ignores this, the governor of Pennsylvania, that he was targeted by a anti-Israeli left-wing lunatic who supports Hamas. So that wasn't even right-wing violence.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.